You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Will.
I am Brian.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons and Dragons. And today we are covering the Death Tyrant. Hey Brian.
Can you do it again?
Oh, why?
Because I burped.
You burped during the...
Just now.
I guess we'll start over.
You just say, hey, Brian.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Will.
How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I just burped, so I feel really good.
It was an impressive burp.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, it was absolutely impressive.
I was confused on whether or not you heard it or not.
No, I did.
Based
I was
off
just,
of what happened
I
was, after.
Man, we've been doing this so long. I'll roll with whatever punches you throw at me.
That's right, dude. Be like the leaf.
I gotta be like
flow
the leaf.
Flow like water. Redirect that energy at your opponent and take them down.
Absolutely.
We've got contests.
We do. We're giving away coffee every week of this month, which spooky by the time month. This airs, it's we're already coming to the end of the final
this is
week.
The last spooky month.
Yeah, so
spooky
the last week. Bag of coffee's been giving away. Check out social media if you want more info about it, because right now we're talking about Death Tyrants. Brian, what happens
that's me.
When a year dedicated to a specific kind of orbular abomination collides with a month devoted to all things spooky and horrifying?
A big pumpkin.
The
really
answer
pumpkin.
Is this episode is the answer. This is what happened.
This is it, the Death Tyrant.
Today we are covering the Death Tyrant, which is sort of like a Beholder Lich,
ooh,
but also a lot different. Powerful, malevolent, undead, and horrifying in both its appearance and intelligence level, this skeletal abomination is perfect for a horror-themed game or even as a BBEG of your standard long-term campaign. It's also not a bad candidate as a patron for the Undead Pact Warlock we talked about earlier this month.
That's cool.
But like many things we have talked about in this game, there's two different versions of this monster. The old 2nd to 3rd edition and the newer Svelter 5th edition version.
Svelter.
They are quite different and we will go over both. But before we get into it, I have to ask, do you know anything about Death Tyrants, Brian?
Yeah, aren't they like the skull in the monster manual? Basically, it's just like a skinless beholder.
Yeah, you're talking about the correct image that I'm sure you will show right here, right now. But do you know anything about it besides the way it looks?
But after the things you just told me and that, I'm sure it does beholder stuff in some level. No, I don't really know anything about it.
All right, cool. Let's get into it then. So let's begin with the more recent and much cooler version of the Death Tyrant. On rare occasions, a beholder's sleeping mind drifts to places beyond its normal madness, imagining a reality in which it exists beyond death. This is more and more likely to begin as a beholder ages, and in its advanced age, it spends more and more time worrying about its own mortality. No. The dreams of such a death-fearing beholder might reach into strange corners of reality and imagine circumstances in which the creature can live on after death. When such dreams take hold, a beholder can transform, its flesh sloughing away to leave a death tyrant behind. This monster possesses the cunning and much of the magic it had in life, but it is fueled by the power of undeath. Death Tyrant appears as a massive naked skull with a pinpoint of red light gleaming in its hollow eye socket. With its eye stalks rotted away, the 10 spectral eyes hover above the creature and glare in all directions.
That's so fucking cool.
I know.
It's just got psychic eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, and I'm about to say this in notes, that this is the creme de la creme of monster design, if you ask me.
Oh, man.
I love this thing.
That sounds great. I I like how it's like a midlife crisis for beholders that like brings the dreams.
I mean, honestly, that's most of like it's always a midlife crisis that causes the beholder to fuck itself up and turn itself into something worse.
Like Doctor Doom is gonna beat themselves.
Yeah, beholders tend to beat themselves. It's true. but essentially, to put it in a similar term, this thing looks kind of like a Demi-Lich with laser eyes, and I love it.
Yeah, just a floating skull Demi-Lich.
Yeah, absolutely. So when a beholder awakens to find themselves transformed into a death tyrant, it will find that though it exists in a state of undeath, its fear of being killed remains unabated. Huh. A death tyrant's paranoia about its enemies tends to be related to how it fears it will be destroyed, and its plans take that fear into account. For example, a death tyrant who imagines it will eventually be slain by dragon's fire might relocate its lair to the icier reaches of the world. Or perhaps it foresees its death might be by goblinoid raiders. A death tyrant might expend copious resources sending its minions to hunt down all goblins within 100 miles, or take some other drastic measure to ensure that the fear never becomes a reality.
Damn, there'd have to be so many fucking goblins, but can you imagine being this and getting killed by fucking goblins?
I mean, I would picture it would be the armies of a goblin.
It would have to be...
Which do exist sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, they're hobgoblins mm-hmm, and like mm-hmm. things like that, yeah. Bugbears. There's lots of good, strong goblins, yeah. Just like... Goblins.
Yeah.
Goblins killed it.
I know.
The level one adventure monster. Yeah.
Well, I mean, goblins can also be adventurers.
When do goblins start becoming, like, not relevant in the CR? You know what I mean? Like, it becomes, like, I cannot throw this many at the players and make it be a good combat, you know? Like,
I would say, depending on your party composition, somewhere between CR 6 and 8.
Okay.
8 on the really high end, I think. That's just my... and we're talking about basic goblins because there are like the more advanced ones that like, you know, the chieftains and all the different variations that exist at this point.
The ones that ride the ogres.
Like yeah, all yeah, that stuff. Like, yeah. Okay. Yeah. If we're
just talking I want that as a touchstone to see like what it would take to beat this thing later when we read the stat
block. Okay. Sounds good. As they did when they were mere beholders, death tyrants lord their power over other creatures, but their new abilities turn them into deathly despots capable of raising entire armies for them to command. The standard beholder's innate ability to quash magical energy from its central eye gives way to a more sinister power in a death tyrant, which can both negate all healing within its sight, but also transform former slaves and enemies into undead servants. Zombies created by a death tyrant are used and discarded as needed. They stand guard at the entrance of the death tyrant's lair or guard its treasure vaults. Acting as bait for traps or as combat fodder, zombies keep powerful enemies distracted while the death tyrant moves into position and prepares to destroy them.
Wow.
A death tyrant that embraces undeath, and let's be honest, why wouldn't it, becomes an engine of destruction. Driven by a hunger for power and security, it advances against humanoid settlements using its eye rays to destroy every creature it encounters, then building an army of undead. If left unchecked, a death tyrant might wipe out the population of a city in weeks, then set its undead eye on wider conquest with its armies of the dead. As each settlement falls, the death tyrant zombie forces build to overwhelming numbers. Now, this is a very common thing with undead in general in D&D. Very few undead can just leave anything well enough alone. There seems to be this undeniable need to feed on the living and to spread undeath like a disease across the lands.
Yeah.
I guess
comes with the territory,
I guess it
right?
just feels right. It just feels like what I should do.
There should be more people like me out
yeah,
there.
Absolutely.
I can help them.
If we consider undeath as the state of constant gnawing hunger and cold emptiness, an undead creature has an insatiable need to fill this void with life and energy, but the void cannot be filled and thus the undeath instead spreads.
So like vampiric. Now, is this a like similar to lich thing? Like is there a phylactery involved? Like what are we doing? Are we talking about like how does this thing...
It just alters reality.
It just makes it so.
Yeah, it makes it so. Absolutely.
It doesn't leave its old self behind or like birth its new lich self and kills its old self? Or is it
We've talked about that in the Bowler episode. So like yes. That can happen where rather than it transforms into a death tyrant, it actually makes a death tyrant of itself.
Right.
Yeah. And then they have to fight to the death.
It's like, man, I wish I was a death tyrant. Good night, everyone. Oh, fuck.
Oops.
Yeah.
One important note about a death tyrant's ability to command undead versus other undead is the unlimited potential paired with the lack of concerted effort on behalf of the tyrant itself. Most necromancers, liches, dracoliches, etc. are limited in the number of minions that they can command at any one time. It takes effort, components, and concentration. Mm. Even the most powerful necromancers can probably only actively manage a horde of a couple hundred or so undead. But for the death tyrant, this is not the case. There is no spell with components or concentration that needs to be held. A zombie raised by a death tyrant is done so instantly without ever effort and serves its creator in a permanent capacity. A Death Variant could, in theory, literally control an army of millions.
So like the Raise Dead, or like Animate Dead, is what it's called, right?
Yeah.
So the Animate Dead spell, you can get multiples, right?
Yeah.
And it can be bones, it could be a corpse, right?
Yeah.
So, but the way it's worded makes it seem like you have to issue the, you can issue the same command individually to each, which made me instantly picture like a web, like psychic web, like with a string attached, like
I can see
a
that,
pin
yeah.
pin in the in my brain and the pin in the, whatever, like energy, however that works.
Yeah,
Probably horribly. So you have to issue this command once, but across all these different channels.
Right.
So that's how I picture like the capacity for a creature to like command a certain amount.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that imagery. I think that works pretty well. So in previous editions, Death Tyrants were much, much less impressive creatures.
I see.
Though still as thoroughly reprehensible of creatures as their 5th edition counterparts, these Death Tyrants are undead beholders akin to zombies than undead overlords.
Oh, okay. That's weird that they would still call them Death Tyrants.
I know.
That's such a powerful name.
I say that somewhere else in the notes. It's like, yeah, that's such a commanding name for someone who instead gets commanded. It
you're
doesn't
just a
make
zombie.
Sense. Yeah, you're just a zombie.
I'm the biggest death. Like zombie thing.
Absolutely.
I guess that's what they were going with.
I guess. They do retain some of their innate magical abilities. These creatures are often minions or pawns used by powerful wizards as guardians. This makes their name a bit dumb because these guys are anything but tyrants. They are almost never encountered near other beholders who find them abhorrent. Which, I mean, yeah, of course they do. A beholder's whole thing is about supremacy. And this is a version of them that is like a mindless drone.
Oh yeah, in the old lore,
so it's like, no beholder.
Yeah, like you're no wizard lich. You gave up your humanity long ago.
Yeah,
like,
there we go. Sure, absolutely. Okay. Although they're totally still a wizard.
They're super duper wizards.
How wizards
still yeah, work. That's not maybe not the comparison. I guess now that I think about it.
This form of Death Tyrant appears as a rotting, mold encrusted beholder.
Hey.
Gaping wounds, whether from injury or simple. Decomposition, expose the insides of its body, and it is either missing a few eye stalks or has a milky film covering some of its eyes. Because of its zombie-like state, it moves and turns more slowly than other beholders, and it does not speak or understand any language. This type of Death Tyrant is created by ritual. To create a Death Tyrant is quite elaborate, and the components required for it typically cost around 3,000 gold pieces.
To make 3,000 gold to make this shitty fucking... thing, but it'll listen to you.
To make a beholder zombie is what
yeah,
this is.
It'll listen to you though.
Like this,
I bet it is like the best undead thing you can do then based off of this. Like if you have all the undead monsters, which one's the best, right? Uh-huh. Maybe this thing in the old lore.
If we're talking zombies, so what's the best zombie?
This classification of creature.
It's going to be somewhere between either a zombie beholder, which exists in the Monster Manual, or
a zombie dragon.
Zombie dragon. Yeah. That's what I was going to go with.
You got, okay, maybe zombie dragon 5,000 GP, and we don't got 5, we got 3,
yeah,
maybe.
Exactly.
So and I killed that beholder like 3 hours ago.
So let's go.
Let's get him.
Elder orbs and beholder mages, as well as necromancers, are known to be capable of casting the spell that can transform dead beholders into death tyrants. A death tyrant is programmed with specific instructions when it is created. These instructions are usually quite simple. For example, attack all humans who enter this chamber until they are destroyed or flee. Do not leave the chamber.
Okay.
A Death Tyrant with no instructions simply attacks all living things it perceives. Though it is a mindless undead, it still fights as if it had intelligence, using its eyes as effectively as possible. Now, this does exist in 5th edition. This creature.
Okay.
It's just called a Beholder Zombie.
Much more aptly named.
Yeah, this was the Death Tyrant before the current Death Tyrant, which is way cooler.
Yeah, for sure.
They
just happen to share the name.
Any questions about Death Tyrants before we get into... We got layer actions, we got regional effects, and then we got a stat block.
Ooh, wow. That's a lot. No, I don't have questions. Are we short resting?
I think we are short resting.
Let's do a short rest.
Right. Hey, folks. I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know the monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast.
Hello, everybody. This is Tom Case.
And this is Will Stark.
Will, could you imagine if we had our own podcast?
Dude, could you imagine?
What if the Loch Ness Monster was real?
Do you think they would open, like, essentially a quote-unquote Jurassic Park for this?
Oh, no,
like,
no. Ness they're not going to let anyone something? Look at it.
What if your house was haunted?
Mm-hmm. Let's say it was a woman. She wants companionship.
No.
You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm not talking about, like, love or sex or anything. Okay, cool. You know, I was going to bring this up, but I knew you were going to say no, so.
What if someone close to you was a werewolf?
Set up a camera, because it would still be a full moon, so she would turn into a wolf monster. Go out in the night, probably kill some people. Oops.
Yeah,
I mean, nothing I can do about that.
The best in what if entertainment. Just search Dude, Could You Imagine? Anywhere podcasts can be found.
We've returned.
Do we have? And it's time to talk about the layer, regional effects, and stat block of the Death Tyrant.
Let me, William, guide you through your notes.
Please, by all means, go right ahead.
A Death Tyrant's lair is usually the same sight it held as a beholder, but it contains more trappings of death and decay. A death tyrant encountered in its lair has a challenge rating of 15.
I'm kind of going through a goth phase now.
I am a goth phase. I'm more than just a phase. It's not a phase, Mom.
You know, we talk a lot about beholders with the reality bending powers turning into a thing, but do they ever turn themselves back? Like, do they lose the reality-altering power the second they change?
I'm sure they could.
I don't know. I've never seen it written down.
They have, like, beholder powers.
They're still a beholder. Beholders.
Yeah.
I think maybe the rule of thumb is if they are still a true beholder, they retain that power. But if they fuck up and turn themselves into a beholderkin, it's over.
Maybe death tyrants don't sleep, like certain fish or whatever. They just go into, like, a stasis resting point. Maybe it'll happen there.
Maybe.
An area that is a 50-foot cube within 120 feet of the tyrant is filled with spectral eyes and tentacles. To creatures other than the death tyrant, that area is lightly obscured and difficult terrain until initiative count 20 on the next round. Okay.
Nice. That's
interesting. Walls sprout spectral appendages until initiative count 20 on the round after next. Any creature, including one on the ethereal plane, that is hostile to the tyrant and starts its turn within 10 feet of the wall must succeed on a DC 17 dexterity saving throw or be grappled. Escaping requires a successful DC 17 strength, athletics, or dexterity acrobatics check. That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Although grappling generally kind of sucks.
Yeah, it's not the strongest thing.
No. A spectral eye opens in the air at a point within 50 feet of the tyrant. One random eye ray of the tyrant shoots from that eye, which is considered to be an ethereal source. At a target of the tyrant's choice, the eye then closes and disappears. The death tyrant can't repeat an effect until all three have been used, and it can't use the same effect on consecutive rounds. It's interesting. Okay.
Okay. So the way I see this is the first one, I think it's pretty much reserved for it with the death tyrant trying to run for its life. It's like, okay. Bam, good luck shooting me through this and good luck getting through it. I'm outie.
I kind of like it, like that scene in Naruto with Itachi and Jiraiya fighting, and he makes the hallway into like a toad stomach.
I vaguely remember that.
Well, basically, it's this move, and they're like in the hallway, and he's like, "I'm not trapped in here with you. you're trapped in here with me.
Right.
So
right.
Like now you're in this hallway tentacle and you're like being funneled and this thing can just sit at the end and fire on you.
That's true. That's okay. That's a good point. That's a better use and a much more aggressive use. I like that. The grapple one's the one that probably least impresses me.
Yeah, because it is grappling. But DC 17th is not the worst.
No, it's not. And then an extra eye, you can't go wrong with that because that's what a boulder fucking does. It shoots eye rays at you.
And I don't think this thing is going to be like limited by size. These tentacles are probably going to appear to whatever size creature you're going to be dealing with. So if you have like a centaur in the party or something like that,
they're still medium.
They're still medium. Yeah.
Oh, we're going to talk about size next episode. I'm going to go on a rant. But anyways,
I've been reading about size. It's fucking bonkers, man. Like, I don't know. Anyway, regional effects. A region containing a Death Tyrant's lair is warped by the creature's unnatural presence, which creates one or more of the following effects. See, this sort of like flavor in the details here kind of implies that it does have that ability to change itself back into a normal beholder.
Good point.
Given the like.
The reality the right altering
circumstances
like there it's still altering reality.
It needs a mentality to get there, right?
Right.
So yeah,
absolutely.
He's like, man, I got beat, but I didn't get killed. This sucks. I was better before, and it like goes to bed.
Right.
Mad.
I can see that. Yeah, absolutely goes to bed.
Okay. So regional effects: a region containing a death. Did I read that part? Yes,
you
I
did.
Sorry. Creatures within 1 mile of the tyrant's lair sometimes feel as if they're being watched, even when they aren't. So you might be being watched.
It's just an uncomfortable feeling.
You might have gazers. Looking at you.
Though, you got gazers? So. You might.
You got gazers? We sell shampoo for that. WCast.com/teespring or whatever. When a creature hostile to the tyrant and aware of its existence finishes a long rest within 1 mile of the tyrant's lair, roll a d20 for that creature. On a roll of 10 or lower, the creature is subjected to one random eye ray of the tyrant.
God damn.
Yeah, that's cool. If the death tyrant dies, these effects fade over the course of 1d10 days.
So you might just wake up and get death raid where you stand. That fucking sucks. Oh, today's gonna be a good. And then you're done. Wake up to a death raid. That's a fucking worst.
Oh
morning.
Man, I'm gonna start today by drinking 2 flasks of water. I'm gonna flush all the back. Yeah, great.
All right, Brian, tell me about the stat block.
Let me stat it out. Let's switch over to this tab. Yeah, baby, we got the death tyrant, which is large, undead, lawful evil with an armor class of 19 natty. I'm just a skull and some rotting flesh. Well, no, the
Bone
rotting flesh
strong.
Was the old one.
No, yeah, it's the shitty one.
This one,
we don't
just,
talk about that one.
Yeah, this beholder drank its milk when it altered reality.
Indeed, it
left
did.
It's just a skull. 187 hit points or 25d10 plus 50 with a normal beholder movement, which is 0 feet walking and fly speed of 20 hover. Strength 10, dexterity 14, con 14, intelligence 19, wisdom 15, and charisma 19. Pretty good.
Yep.
Not as good as the Dullahan.
Which was a beast. What's the CR on this bad boy?
The CR on this bad boy is 14.
Yeah,
hey,
maybe you
that
had
was
something
the number
there.
We said first, but 13.
Yeah.
A little less balanced than the Dullahan, though. Like, in terms, like, it's, you know, brain heavy over here on the right hand side.
Oh,
of
yeah,
the stats.
Yeah.
We got saving throws up the wazoo, +5 to strength, +7 to con, +9 to intelligence, +7 to wisdom, and +9 to charisma.
Yeah, the Dullahan only had +7, so it's got him on that.
On one con save, too, yeah. So it does have a beat there. Skills, perception, +12. Damage, immunities, poison. Condition, immunities, charm, exhaustion, paralyzed, petrified, poisoned, prone. It has dark vision at 120 feet, not true sight. And then passive perception of 22, which is good. That's normal beholder stuff. Deep speech and undercommon are the languages it speaks. We already said challenge rating 14 with a +5 proficiency bonus. So I would say stronger than the Dullahan. And I love all the additional saves on here, like kind of representing a beholder's paranoia.
Yeah, absolutely.
Being ready for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Negative energy cone. The death tyrant's central eye emits an invisible magical 150-foot cone of negative energy at the start of each of its turns. The death tyrant decides which way the cone faces and whether the cone is active. Now, does it have to turn physically to do that as well? Or can it just decide to shoot the cone? Like, this one makes more sense for the eye to like roll back into its skull and like be looking out the other way to make the
cone.
That's
true. It's a laser eye anyways.
Yeah.
I think it does have to turn.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Especially based off the normal.
Yeah, but that doesn't cost it action or anything.
Right. It's free. Movement. It's not even going to count as movement. So any creature in that area can't regain hit points. Any humanoid that dies there becomes a zombie under the tyrant's command. The dead humanoid retains its place in the initiative order and animates at the start of its next turn, provided that its body hasn't been completely destroyed, which is probably really possible based off of the next things I'm going to read.
Now, the main thing here is like this guy is going to make a very difficult for your healer to heal you.
Oh yeah. You gotta like strategically move around the battlefield to get a heal in, like, optimally.
Absolutely.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Teleport, Thunderstep. It's really good. Anyway, we got the bite. It's +5 to hit, reach of 5 feet, one target. It's gonna do 14 or 46 piercing damage. We got the eye rays.
It's probably never gonna bite you.
You never know. I always think of it as like a last stitch thing.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, for the eye rays, I don't think we have to go over any of this. It's literally identical to the regular beholder. You could just list the rays.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do. Oh, we got eye rays. Death Tyrant shoots 3 of the following magical eye rays at random. Reroll duplicates, choosing 1 to 3 targets it can see within 120 feet, which is standard beholder stuff. It's got the charm ray, the paralyzing ray, the fear ray. Those do charming, paralyzing, and fear stuff. So look up condition immunities. And we got the slowing ray. The target must succeed on... I got to scroll back up to the top. DC 17 dex save. On a fail, the speed is halved. Enervating Ray, DC 17 con save, taking 36 or 88 necrotic damage. Telekinetic Ray, Sleep Ray, Petrification Ray, Disintegration Ray, which is always good. I'll just read this one again because it's so good.
It is good.
If the target is a creature, it must succeed on a DC, and not like a construct, I guess. It must succeed on a DC 17 dexterity saving throw or take 45 or 10d8 force damage. Force damage is cool. If this damage reduces the creature to 0 hit points, the body becomes a pile of fine gray dust, which then you can sell to drug addicts. If the target is large or smaller, non-magical object or creation of magical force, it is disintegrated without a saving throw. If the target is huge or larger object or creation of magical force, this ray disintegrates a 10-foot cube of it. And then we got the death ray. Causes you death. Or
10d10 damage.
Yeah, DC 17 dex save, 55 or 10d10 necrotic damage. If you drop to 0, you did. No saves.
So essentially, the only real difference is, I'm looking at the 2 stat blocks between the Beholder and the Death Tyrant, is Death Tyrant gets a +1 AC, a little more, a smidge more HP. It has all those immunities from being undead, so the Charm, Exhaustion, Paralyzed, that stuff. So, I mean, that's a pretty big bonus. And then, of course, the negative cone. Energy cone, that's the big one. Otherwise, it's pretty much identical to the Beholder, which is makes sense, but maybe a little lazy. I feel like some of these rays could have been changed to be more like, I don't know, undead themed, but I mean,
can this thing animate dead though, right? Like you were saying in the lore, like
with its negative energy cone.
With the negative energy cone, that's what it's doing.
It becomes a zombie.
Oh, I see.
And you just raise infinite zombies.
Well, all right. I mean, what else could you do though? Like with the rays, how would you get creative here?
I mean, I would look at a lot of like necromancy spells and see if I can't churn some of those into rays.
Okay.
I mean, I don't have one off the top of my head, but I think. Probably somewhere between spell levels of like 3 and 6. Maybe
it's already
pick a
doing
few of those.
Like necrotic damage.
Yeah, you got necrotic damage and you have death, right? Like disintegration and death ray can stay.
Maybe change out petrification for something.
Yeah.
Like undead flavored, because that's like more of a standard. Or like I don't know. I like the telekinetic ray. It makes for really funny situations.
Sure, absolutely. Like I said, I would think about it and I would look through the catalog and see if there's anything that catches my eye to give it a little extra flavor. But other than that, like, I don't really have a complaint. This is a terrifying monster and one I've never really had the opportunity to run.
We homebrew raise every episode at the end if you want to stick around.
It's true. It's true. Maybe, well, not this episode. We don't.
This episode is going to be different.
Yeah.
But, you know, any non-beholder related episode. I'm sorry. This thing has legendary actions, so it can take 3 legendary actions. It basically just does an eye ray.
Which is the same as a beholder.
Yeah.
Exactly the same. Just anything you want to add about the Death Tyrant?
I mean, I have nothing to add because I read all the stuff it does.
Okay.
So I'm not going to like, we already talked about like homebrewing the rays. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's the main thing I would change about it. Other than that, I think what carries a Death Tyrant in your campaign is probably its personality. Like, what's its voice like? What's its prerogative? What's its goals? What's its personality? What's its interactions with your players? Like, that's going to make it the most interesting
Death Tyrant it can be.
That's probably one of the best things you can like try to work out for like really fun interactions in campaign is like find a way to have a dialogue involved with your monster without having a confrontation.
Right. And then like there's the other side of that too, like the dual hand we talked about last episode. You don't need a conversation with that thing. That thing's so fucking interesting, just the interaction of fighting it.
Right.
But
you might be running away from that shit.
Yeah, exactly.
This is like you're sneaking around its lair, maybe you hear it like echoing down the hallway. It's like talking to itself
or
like giving out instructions.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. This thing is a really well thought out being with probably an extensive background that can be as interesting or uninteresting as your DM wants to make it.
You can find a way to divinate on it and like have the interaction there.
Yeah.
Like, humans, I let you talk to, I let you see in on me and I want to show you my beams.
I'm pretty sure that there is some sort of variant version of the Beholder that can use magic. Because the whole thing about Beholders is like they don't use magic. It's kind of like Mind Flayers, where it's like it's against their beliefs, kind of. And also with the central eye of a Beholder, it's anti-magic. So it doesn't make for great magic using.
This is the part of it all that doesn't make sense to me because of these rays. What are they? They're just... I am sleep.
They're reality altering things.
Yeah, so it's not magic. It's but just
my point here is that like a Death Tyrant probably doesn't have the same qualms as a regular Beholder because number one, it doesn't have an anti-magic eye, so that's not getting in the way. Number two, it's undead. What does it care? Like time to become a fucking lich, like or but not a lich. It's time to become an undead wizard who doesn't have to deal with the phylactery problem.
Yes, but the phylactery isn't necessarily.
A problem. It's got pros and cons. It's got pros and cons.
Yes, but you're taking all that. All those pros and cons don't exist.
Yeah.
You just have like a pseudo. Yeah, there's something missing here, I think, is what we're getting at. Like, there's just something missing about this stat block. Like,
the stat block is what it is. The interesting thing is going to come from everything you do outside of it. That's kind of where I sit.
Add something to this because it needs it. I feel like it's.
Yeah,
like,
I think I can agree with that.
They didn't salt this Beholder enough.
No, yeah. No salt.
It's all there. Like the skeleton of something really, really good is right there.
Just needs a little spice.
Just needs a little coriander or paprika. Oh, I just said that so bad.
Did you know that coriander is cilantro?
Oh, really? Is it like dry, just dried?
No, it's just cilantro.
It's just cilantro?
It's just the English word for cilantro.
Oh, dang. And
coming from California, we didn't know that because we've always called it cilantro.
I just have cilantro.
Look, we're taking a long rest now.
Okay. Hey, everybody, welcome to the long rest. This is the part of the episode where we normally build a Beholder this year and we talk about a whole bunch of housekeeping stuff and do fun jokes. But this is not a fun joke. This is a fact about Beholders. Will, did you know that Beholders, when they eat, they metabolize 100% of the material that they ingest?
Oh, so no poops. No poops for the Beholders.
Not even, what you're saying. Not even a butthole.
Not even, no butthole necessary.
No butthole. It's a smooth Ken doll situation all the way down and all the way back.
Well, that's pretty impressive because, I mean, does that mean they can eat anything? Are Beholders picky about what they eat because they're like, oh, no, I can't digest all of that. That's going to cause a problem. Is that how some Beholders just spontaneously die? They accidentally eat something that they can't digest?
They forget to vom.
Okay.
You know.
Interesting.
Like Greek mythos or like like Greek history and like Hunger Games. People just go to the bathroom to vom so they can go eat more.
I see.
Or like Attack on Titan.
So it just sits in there until they vomit it out.
They just have a clump of whatever up in their guts. And then like, nasty. Yeah, if they go to bed with a clump in their body, no butthole, right?
They can choke and die.
And, you know, if they, okay, so let's say they're, they get, so they metabolize 100% of the food that they eat. When I say that, I mean 100% of the food that they need to eat. And beyond is what happens, what you say. They get that. So if they go to bed, they become... they alter reality, become the mouth of Girlantor.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. So what else we got to talk about okay. today, Brian?
That was good. we are going to talk about, we've got a Discord, or there is a Discord that exists. Go there and be D&D.
Yeah. Link for that will definitely be in the description. It pretty much always is.
Oh yeah. I remember what I was supposed to say. I just like threw that out because I couldn't remember, but we got a PO box. Thanks to everybody who watched our Dredge into Shadowmire Keep episode that we dropped. I realized I forgot to put the P.O. box in the description of that video on YouTube, but did it on the podcast side. But it'll be on all the episodes that aired after that, which is to say several. But I'm going to hit it with you here. You can send us stuff at a P.O. box. The P.O. box is 17... It's going to be P.O. box... excuse me. P.O. box 1784, Upland, California, 91785. You want to send us something? Now you can do it. We've had a lot of requests, so we finally have a way that you can do that. That isn't my home address. You can't just be giving that out. Don't worry about sending like packages and stuff. They said they would hold them like behind the counter. No big deal.
Nice.
If you want to send us something but can't think of what to send, we also have an Amazon wish list. You can just go like check that out and see what we got on there. It's mostly stuff for our YouTube background, or like musical instruments for those of you that watch Super Quest Saga or other live plays. I do all the music. So if you get me an instrument, I will use it in like the next thing I make. And I'll be anything that you guys buy us, we're gonna shout you out on the show. Like,
like absolutely.
We do with like Patreon and stuff. Like, if you give us stuff, we're gonna let people know that you are awesome. And you're all awesome for listening. So you don't have to do any of this stuff, but people ask us. So we finally took the plunge. Yeah, I'm looking at our YouTube background right now, and it needs more dragons. So
more dragons,
more miniatures. We've branched over. I've bought plenty of dice, but those are hard to display. Now. What else we got, Will? Thanks for everybody who participated in contests. I hope you enjoy your coffee.
Yeah, we should have at this point given away three bags, and there should be one more on its way somewhere.
A fourth bag.
Get on our Twitter and our Instagram if you want to know more about the coffee giveaways. Next episode, we'll be announcing a new book. Well, it'll be over like 5 days after.
If you want to go see the record of us giving away a bunch of coffee and asking people to share the show, you can do that.
That's true.
Thanks for helping visibility here. Patreon people, we are getting you a new yearly item, 20 mm-hmm. bucks and up. You can get this item. Do we want to announce what it is, or do we know what it is? Do I know what it is? I have an idea of what it is.
I'm not 100%. I know what I want it to be, but we're still trying to confirm. Because unfortunately, Patreon does this thing where it doesn't allow us to put our images on certain items unless the Patreon pledge is of a certain height. And although I feel like $20 a month is an amazing amount to give, apparently Patreon thinks it ain't shit. So they don't give us a lot of options, but we're going to figure it out.
Yeah, not for sweaters anyway.
Like, yeah, like I wanted to do hoodies 1 year and they wouldn't let us do hoodies. So
yeah, we have to charge like a lot.
Yeah.
We have to make a brand new tier that we don't already have. That's, I think, is like
exorbitant.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
I think
you will get a sweater and all the other stuff, which is dope.
Yeah, it is dope. It's just a lot. We'll figure it out, and as soon as I know, Brian will know, and then social media will know, and everyone will know.
The good news is we have art
being commissioned, being
made for whatever it is that we're going to put it on.
Indeed.
And I think you guys are going to fucking love it.
It's going to be amazing. I'm very excited about it. And anyone who's interested in that or any of the other bonus content we do, please go to patreon.com and pledge.
Yeah. It's going to be the best one. The best one yet, I think. Yeah, go to patreon.com/dungeoncast, get the bonus content, blah, 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 blah. What are we missing here?
I don't think we're missing anything. We're missing. I think we got it all in.
We're missing something. Let's call it a game.
We'll call it a game. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye. Happy Halloween.
The Dungeon Cast. Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world. That ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.